A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama.
Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu.
Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Buongiorno, Riccardo.
Buongiorno, Lars Maria. Lars Maria.
Come stai?
Oh my God, your Italiano is getting good.
My Italian is truly on point. All I do now when I'm stressed is I head on over to Duolingo and just learn more Italian. And now, shout out to the reader who hooked me up with a Duolingo Plus account. Because it has taken my Italian to a whole new realm.
Such great heights.
Yeah. And now I'm fully like,
you are a Sicilian woman in like 1920.
I'm just like scrubbing the floors.
Oh!
I'm kind of squat, very fat. But I make a mean pasta. I always peel the onions.
You're peeling green beans in a chair.
Yeah.
And some sitting on some dust.
I'm a Sicilian widow.
Uh-huh.
My husband, long gone. And now I sit in the dust outside of the shack and peel beans. And I make some food that the local villagers come by and we trade. We make trades.
Your husband passed away in the war and you've been in mourning for like 3 decades.
Yeah. I wear like a black veil every day. No one has seen my face truly without my veil for years.
Didn't they like expect women to just like never get married again?
Yeah. I'm like learning about Italian culture, which I say very lightly because truly my only like teachings of Italian culture have come from The Sopranos, Real Housewives of New Jersey, and My Brilliant Friend. So I'm basing it on just what I've learned from those three shows is that women are extremely oppressed.
Yeah.
Extremely oppressed. And they are expected
to... Real surprise there!
...serve the men. It's like real Madonna whore stuff. They are there to serve. They are... like education was not widely available to them as like a resource. Like it's very much, there's a lot of oppressive things.
I mean, I think I'm Irish and I think there's some similar elements of that in Irish culture.
Yeah.
I think it's just Catholic. Mm-hmm. But I also think specifically very Catholic centric cultures are very, very well versed in like Madonna horror and women being, you know, subservient and
Also like the messaging around sex I think is so damaging, especially in that religion. I mean, also in just like secular Christianity or whatever.
No, Catholic.
Don't
sex.
Get me wrong. Southern
don't
Baptist.
Get me wrong.
Southern Baptists don't do a great job of it either. But like with Catholic, I mean, there is something sexy about Catholicism. But it's also just like filled with like shame and molestation.
It's filled. It's filled with molester priests. And no, there's a lot of shame. There's a lot of suffering. Even like genuflecting like on a pew is like your knees are supposed to hurt. Like you're supposed to like suffer like Jesus did.
Yeah. I just don't subscribe to a suffer religion.
Speaking of things that are anti-suffer, can I give a shout out for a show for everyone to watch?
Yeah.
It's a show on BBC. It's on Hulu. It was on BBC in 2013. It's called In the Flesh. It's so good. Because you know how I've been on like a zombie journey?
Yeah.
It's like a kind of like almost like a Six Feet Under-esque show about a world where zombies have been like turned back into like, you know, they've been like domesticated basically, and they're kind of humans, but they're just undead. Mm-hmm. Like they get their personalities back, and they're not violent anymore if they take this medication.
Oh,
and it's set in England, and it's about this kid who's like 19, who's a zombie who goes back to live with his family, and he's gay, and like it's so good. It's really, really, really good. It's funny. It's sad. It's beautiful. The acting's incredible. It has like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Cool.
Yeah. It's great.
Check that out.
I'm checking this out.
I recently watched Dave.
Oh, with Lil.
With Lil Dicky. And I truly loved it. I was like so resistant to this show. I like saw billboards. I was like, bleh. I didn't even know what it was, but I was just like peeved. I was like a hater about it. And then somehow I found, like, I had never had heard of Lil Dicky before. I didn't, like, know that that was a thing. Then I got into, like, some K-hole on Instagram where then I was like, oh, this is a show about, like, this guy. And then I watched, like, the pilot and then within a day, like, binged the entire thing. It's very watchable. It's, like, a fun show. I was, like, laughing out loud at certain parts. There are also some, like, really moving, like, well-written episodes. Like, it's a really well-done show.
Yeah, I think Karen Kilgariff recommended it to me. And I trust her and you, so.
Guess it's time. Did you watch Hollywood?
I'm
Ryan Murphy show?
I'm going to write today, but I think I might like have it on while I'm writing. A little like kind of as background noise. Is it good?
It's really good. And then I think it gets like really bad by the end.
Yeah.
Is it a limited series, or is it supposed to like be coming back?
Did you watch the whole season?
Yeah, I watched the whole season.
I don't know if it's coming back. I mean, the story, I heard it's kind of watered down. Like, there's not much gay sex in it.
There was a good amount of gay sex in it. I thought there was good gay representation. Like, it felt very gay to me.
That whole story of that Scott, what's his name? Scott, he was real. He was like a pimp at that gas station.
There's a whole documentary about him.
Yeah. He was like, he returned to Twitter shortly before his death, like a year, and because he was promoting some book, and he would just tweet the wildest shit.
He
was tweeting like the filthiest shit. I loved it. He was just like,
oh my God.
Hey babies, I just passed my favorite number. 999 more to go until I get it again. #69 He was like 84.
He was just a horned up dude. And if you're looking for a good documentary, just Google Scotty Bowers documentary and then you'll find this documentary. And that's a good entree into Ryan Murphy's Hollywood. And then I would just say, watch, because I thought Hollywood was like a series. I didn't know it was like a limited series. So I was excited to like have this be a world that we got to like explore. But then yeah. It definitely, like, I thought it was nice. It was like nice that it gets all, it's like Hollywood in the 1940s and mm-hmm. all the like crazy like studio shit, like the homophobia, the racism that was all going on during that era. But then by the end of the series, it's like all wrapped up in like a pretty little bow and like everything's fixed. And it's just like,
I love that.
Fixed Hollywood. And I was like, wait, what? And
there's still,
I was loving
this...
I wanted like seedy Hollywood evil drama.
Yeah.
And then I thought we were gonna get just like 8 seasons of that. And I was ready.
Yeah, I would have loved just like an ongoing, like, just shady goings on behind the scenes of the studios. That would have been like, you could just go forever with that. Because it never ends.
It never ends. And like, that was the most intriguing part of it all. It's like, wow, yeah, like we've been like, this whole system has been programmed in such a way for so long. Like, that you start to put together, like, you just start realizing stuff, as Kylie would say. And then it was like, it took a turn and it like took a fantasy kind of turn. And then I was like, okay, that's cool, I guess. But also, damn.
Nothing All right. like Hollywood is still extremely racist, extremely homophobic, extremely misogynistic.
I guess this is positing, like, what would have happened if.
Yeah.
We're like more inclusive back in the day, which is like cool, but also we weren't. So,
yeah. Oh, he tweeted, I used to bring Merle Oberon cum for her to use as a facial treatment. She said it was the key to her pretty skin. Later on, she wanted it straight from the source. .. He was so.
I love horned up people that just like are truly genuinely horny on Twitter.
I love how people are just on Twitter like, getting fisted.
Oh yeah,
it's great. People, Twitter, that's why Twitter's great, because it's just like doesn't hold back. Oh, he tweeted, me on my way to Arclight Cinemas with a carload of guys reminds me of when I used to go to Cole Porter's with 15 Marines #gangbang. He was cute when he was younger,
Scotty. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, oh okay, there's also there's a gay guy on Twitter who, he's middle-aged or older, and his name is Robert. He's like become like legendary, and he tweets like he'll troll kind of like thirst trappy gay Twitters who are like, you know, late to the gym, and it's like them like with their like bussy showing basically. And he'll tweet like, what about this is redeemable? Or he'll be like, he's like some older gay guy and he's like, could you say the same thing about your character? Like, he's just always like going in on these people. It's like they'll still tweet some like inane thirst trap caption and he'll write like, you know, this picture's compensating for your lack of character.
Wow, a read.
It's wild. Wait, I have to read you some of his tweets. Can I do
yeah,
that?
Read me. Tell me a story.
Someone tweeted, "Bottom representation matters," and it's just like this shirtless guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote, "They don't need you to advocate for them."
They actually don't. I was like, I feel like I see lots of bottoms, and they get a lot of representation. whether I like it or not.
Someone wrote, does anyone actually like Nancy Pelosi? He wrote, no. Someone wrote, should I shave or nah? And it's just like,
what did he wrote, say?
Will the earth stop turning? The seasons stop changing? The destiny of humanity permanently altered? Perhaps you thought so in your temple of vanity.
Wait, I'm a need to smash the follow. What's his Twitter?
Robert 20 2078925. Someone wrote, survived my first 10K run in a while. It's like, and he wrote, what does this accomplishment have to do with the irrelevant photo attached? Can't you rely on the statement to attract praise rather than defaulting to vanity?
Wow. Robert.
Someone wrote, I'm bored with all these pictures. And he wrote, so are we, of mindless photo sets posted here that give you that brief hit of dopamine, like a helpless crack addict.
Oh my God. Robert is waging a one-man war.
Dumb and lonely with the plant next to him. And he wrote, yes, you look both of those things, as well as vacant and shallow. Do not neglect your plant.
He loves plants.
Yeah.
He had said, good morning, mint flourishing in the Des Moines sunshine, with a picture of his mint flourishing. I love a plant gay.
I know. In general, I find this website quite disgusting. He's unbelievable. Anyway, sorry.
Wow.
Wow. Also, Grimes and Elon Musk had their baby.
Oh, yeah. They had a baby and they named their son. What did they name their son, Carrie? Tattletale on them.
No.
No, I'm not... kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That was a joke.
Oh, my God. I'm a tattletale. I really wasn't a tattletale when I was a kid, though.
No, you're not.
I was always like, snitches get stitches.
Snitches get stitches. I was a tattletale. I was a tattletale up until, I feel like, 6 years ago.
I mean, I have tattled. I remember one time someone went, Carrie, no one loves a tattletale.
No one loves a tattletale, but online, you can really tattletale and get a lot of praise and good feedback.
Mm-hmm. It's great. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was a fucking narc. But I mean, then
we've all been a narc at some point.
We've all narked out.
They named their child XAEA-12, according to Elon Musk.
How do you pronounce that?
That could be a joke, but I believe it.
That has to be a joke.
He also just sold his houses.
All of them?
Two of his LA homes he sold.
Huh.
Because he tweeted, Grimes is mad at me. And then he tweeted, I'm selling all my possessions.
Someone had a funny Instagram where they were like, this is how fuckboy you met in art school breaks up with you. And then it was a tweet of him saying, I'm selling all my possessions.
Good luck to that baby. I think they'll have a good life.
Yeah. I mean, what I love about Elon Musk is that he has lots of babies.
Oh, he loves his sperm.
He loves his sperm and loves to procreate. And I think the good news about having a baby with a billionaire is that you're just set. It's going to be fine financially.
Yeah.
The bad part might be that they're crazy and not really in your kid's life that much,
but you make up for it with money.
Yeah, you buy him a new daddy or mommy.
Yeah, you know that he's like, my cum is his cum to him.
He
is
wants
like
to spread his seed.
He wants to just, he doesn't like to father, but he loves to seed.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like to actually nurture, but he loves to father.
Yeah,
he's like,
he loves to breed, spread his seed, and then nurture probably in a financial form, which is kind of cool. but also like
just typical, like, I mean, he probably has like vials of he probably has his cum, like, I mean, do you think he has like fridges, just these like high tech fridges full of his cum?
He's definitely frozen his cum.
Like, he probably, it's like in those virology labs when they have viruses in those frozen like cryogenic things. He has like his cum.
Cum is,
and it's
he's
like
frozen his cum for sure.
Yeah. He's like, I will give you my cum. He's like, you get to have my cum. That's how he looks at, like,
you have some of my cum, and you get some of my cum, and you get some of my cum.
Like, I feel like he's definitely said to his, you know, he had like 7 kids with one woman, I think.
Yeah, I think he was married to a woman, then they got divorced, but then they got back together, which I love when that happens with people. I think that that's great.
Yeah. But he's like, how lucky for you that you get to have my seed.
My seed.
This is disgusting. I'm sorry, everyone.
This has become a cum cast. He has 6.
I'm sorry.
So that's actually not that much cum.
Oh, a lot of kids.
The son.
If you haven't turned it off by now, God bless you. The son's name was.
We've really veered off course.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take us there.
You didn't take us there. It was a two-way street. We both went down it.
Yeah. What were you saying?
No, I didn't realize that it was like, I thought it was XAE, like just the letters, but it's like the AE combined.
XA.
XAE 12 Musk.
XAE.
Wow. Okay. I love an AE combined. It's one of my favorite combinations.
Really?
Yeah. A fairy. I love it when it's AE.
Oh, I love a fairy.
A fairy. Fairy. Yeah. XAE 12 Musk.
I'm reading about XAE. Wow.
The thing about it is, like, I didn't realize until Elon Musk started dating like Amber Heard what a fame whore he is, and like how much he like loves attention.
Yeah, I mean, all
and
these
I guess
stunts.
I didn't know that about Grimes either. Like, I never thought of her really that way, but then together they really are, like, they court the attention and like love the celebrity of it all.
Grimes is, she likes famous people.
Yeah.
She's low. She did it in the more like kind of way that appeared punk. And like, she is punk in a lot of ways, but I think she likes celebrity, and she likes what Elon has. I think she liked the, it seemed like she was into the kind of salaciousness of their union at first, when everyone was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, you don't premiere as a couple at the Met Ball if you're not like desperate for attention.
Yeah.
I was actually so happy that there was no Met Ball this year.
I know.
That was a real load off. Like, that was actually a gift to all of us that we didn't have to, like, go through that again.
Yeah. We didn't have to see, like,
we have to see everyone's stupid outfits.
Stupid outfits. They're thanking whoever designer.
Yeah. We get, like, a bit of a cultural reset, and then we can like revisit next year when everyone has a chance to like really think about what's important and what they're going to bring to the table.
I'm glad that people yesterday were, I did like a homage to Karlie Kloss's Camp Right in the Eye.
And I talked about it on last week's episode. I saw like people really that resonated with the culture.
But a lot of people were going in. It felt like I was happy that a lot of people were talking about Looking Camp Right in the Eye.
Looking Camp Right in the Eye.
Looking Camp Right in the Eye. Yeah. And my biggest pet peeve was hearing, like, the next day, celebrities posting, like, ugh, Met Ball hangover.
Yeah. It's just like, all the Met Ball content is just like
a parade
to me, less about fashion and more just about like
sucking your own
sucking your own dick and then being like, we're in the party and you're not part of it, which is obviously like a draw of fashion and like a part of fashion that makes it so like special. But the most special part about fashion to me is like seeing the actual incredible fashions that people do and like moments. And the Met Ball is just like Coachella. It's like a meaningless moment.
We're at the club and you're not.
We're at the boom boom room.
We're at the party.
We were invited to the party. That's how we're talking from now on. We're talking in XAEA 12 language, which is just Canterbury Tales.
Grimes named her child the Canterbury Tales.
That's what I'm naming my child, Canterbury.
They spell party. Party. Met party. Gala. Met Gala.
We went to the Met Gala. It's just Gaelic. Is that Gaelic?
Canterbury Tales is like old English.
Yeah. Ye old English. Canterbury Tales is like people walked from one place to another. That's what I remember. That's my summary of Canterbury Tales. Canterbury Tales should be a Met Gala theme. I could think of like several hundred Met Gala themes that would be great themes.
Apparently, yeah. Oh my God, can you imagine what is next year going to be? Some fucking like quarantine thing?
Don't even say it. Don't even put it out there. It should not be that.
It's going to be like quarantine.
Quarantine through the ages.
Oh my God. Is it going to be like Venetian death mask thing or like doctor? Is it going to do like beak mask shit?
I don't want to be. That's already been done.
Are they going to do.
This year's was like so vague.
What was it?
It was like fashion time and time again or something like that. Duration and whatever. Like it was like just vague. Like get specific and then adhere to the theme. Do the research. All you have to do is Google. Like Google it and read a Wikipedia and then like talk to someone.
Google
about
it.
Just take it to the internet and go to Google. Type in.
Yeah. Just do like a, just be like, literally just do like Halloween.
That's your Met Gala theme. All Hallows Eve.
Hallows Eve. Devil's Night. Or like do like, do like pagan or like just some fucking concrete cool theme.
Met Gala theme should be like Feast of the Ages and then all like kind of food and feasts.
Yes. Like
Katy Perry can dress up like a turkey leg.
Oh my God. They should. I would love that. I would love like Dua Lipa to dress like a ham.
Mm-hmm. A grand like feast. Yeah.
They're all dressed like food.
Yeah. That's like food themed, like kind of cupcakes or like mufool. Like carrot.
Gaga should dress like one of. I want Gaga to dress like one of the chefs on the Swedish Chefs. Oh
yeah, it's like I want like a cooks, too many cooks in the kitchen. That's the Met Ball.
It's called the baker, the candlestick maker, and it's just all
it's called the baker's dozen.
That's... the baker's dozen. It's just a bunch of everyone just dressed like a chef
and they go mamma mia.
Mamma mia. It's called spaghetti.
Mamma mia. We have too much spaghetti.
Oh my God. Oh my God. The next Met Ball should be Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Yes. The Met at Cloudy with a Chance of Meatball. And then.
Meatball. And it's just all these people walking in with chef hats and like little red aprons.
Chefs
are around the world.
Chefs are around the world and there's someone tossing a pizza dough on the red carpet.
There's like a French chef. There's a chef from like Japan, like a sushi chef. Like
Like, the Met Gala doesn't even look fun. It doesn't look like a fun place to be. It looks stressful.
And everyone's hungry.
Everyone's so hungry and hot. Remember when Gwyneth went to the Met Ball and she wore, like, I think a pink, like a hot pink Valentino gown, and then all these haters tried to spread rumors that she smelled bad.
She probably did.
She probably did, but, like, that's not her fault.
No, it's insane.
It's hot. It's, like, so stressful to, like, get there and keep, like, from getting wrinkles and then, like, look beautiful and perfect on this huge red carpet. You have to walk up all these stairs. Then you go in. I'm sure they don't feed you enough food, and you're just, like, sitting around, like, waiting for it to be over. You're uncomfortable.
I would have had someone bring, like, a Dove spray, body spray thing, just constantly spraying all night, just like, yeah, freshness.
Oh, I'd have Botox in my armpits like a month before, so there would be no sweat. I'd Botox my ass crack and armpits.
Yeah, I would Botox my whole, like, yeah, the region.
Yeah, did you get sack Botox?
Yeah, for sure, ball sack Botox.
Mm-hmm. Painful, but worth it.
Painful, yes. Worth it, absolutely.
Priceless.
Priceless. Priceless. Baker, I just can't get over cooks from around the world. Too many cooks in the kitchen. Just too many. Everyone's just wearing, like, little, those Baker hats. I was a chef for Halloween once.
I love that. I think I might be a chef this hat. Year for Halloween. Yeah.
I was in Captiva Island when I was little. Mm-hmm. And it's like an island in the Gulf of Mexico, Florida, where you can, like, everyone just drives, like, golf carts around. It's very, yeah, like, resorty. And I saw a chef in a golf cart going to some restaurant, and he had a hat on, and I was like 5 or 6. I was so enthralled by his chef look. So I wanted to be a chef that year. So yeah. I was just a chef.
Be a chef.
The tall hat.
Almost bought some chef pants, which I think I'm now going to do.
As, like, a loop?
Yeah, they're, like, striped, like, 100% cotton, kind of, like, drawstring pants. I saw them, like, they were linked with some article on Vogue, and then I was like, wait, I think I need chef pants. Like, this could be a real look for me. So, I'm ready. And also, I talk a lot of shit about the Met Ball, but please invite me, Anna Wintour, if you're listening.
Yeah, invite us.
Yeah, let us come. We'll have a great time. We will actually, like, it would behoove you to have people like us there.
Yeah.
People love us. We're fun to hang out with.
We're fun.
Period. Fun, flirty, fabulous.
Laura doesn't really drink.
I'm not a big partier.
We'll be well-behaved.
I'm 5'11", so model height.
You are. Just stick Laura in anything and she'll rock it.
Yeah. You'll gonna look have fucking to make hot it like a size 8. And it's not sample size, but
I want you to wear like 6-inch heels and just be like 6'6".
Mm-hmm.
I want you to just, like, walk into the Met Ball wearing 6 inch.
I would be as tall as, like, a basketball player with a 6-inch heel.
Yeah. Just walk in like that.
Up those stairs. That is the most stressful thing I can imagine, but I would do it.
Gaga did it.
Ball. I would do it for too many chefs.
Do it. I'd like to see it.
Okay.
Just step out of a car and just walk, like, on stilts, basically.
Mm-hmm. Looking around, giving Tyra model hunch.
And I'll wear, what can I wear?
Would you wear, like, a suit? Would you wear, like, short? I could see you maybe in, like, a shorts.
Like, I'd wear like a suit
with shorts, but, like,
yeah,
like a Tom Brown look, kind of.
Mm-hmm. I'd make sure my knees were super, like,
buffed and moisturized.
Yeah, I'd be like knees.
Mm-hmm.
My look is knee. That should be the Met Ball theme is knees.
Knees. Ugh, that would require a little bit of laser, some Botox, some microneedling. Knees.
Yeah. Microneedling.
Microneedling. Meatball theme is legs, and I just am a whole leg up to the top of my head.
Katy Perry dressed like a leg.
She dresses like two legs, but it just goes all the way up to the top of her head. You can't even see her face. It's just two legs.
But when walking. she reveals her face, she's like this.
In the crotch of the legs.
With all pictures, she has a wide open mouth, and she's like, oh!
Yeah. I've now just accepted. Okay, we got to just get into it. We've veered.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Derek Blaisberg said the Met Ball was the Christmas for people in fashion. So speaking of Christmas,
it's Christmas in New Jersey.
It's Christmas in North Jersey, baby. I love this OC Housewives like doot doot, like very twinkling.
Doot, doot, doot. Yeah. Really, like they really went into like twinkle music in this episode.
Jacqueline's getting her fake ass Christmas tree, which my family has a fake Christmas tree, so I don't know why I said ass. She's getting her fake Christmas tree from her attic with her dad, and it kind of gave me like Exorcist moments when Ellen Burstyn goes up to the attic.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I saw.
Really. Yep. Surprisingly, her attic did not have a creepy vibe.
No, it looked great. It looked like, I want to hang with her.
Yeah, it looked like a chill spot. I love that her dad, Jerry, is there. Yeah, Jacqueline's house is like super oversized leather couches and like huge pillows, which I can really get down with. And like massive and, like, wine glasses,
the size of a dog.
Yeah, everything is big. The bigger the better at the Lurita household.
Yeah, her sweet dad is helping her. Her parents are staying with them like through the month, I guess. And Jack's having a holiday cocktail with Giudice and Gorga clans
to reunite the Giudices and the Gorgas.
Then we cut to Jacqueline, Ashley, and her dad are making like little paper chain, you know, streamers. And
I
fucking
hate those streamers.
I do too. But Ashley's helping, like she's just like gluing shit, and she says like Jacqueline's talking about how she wants to help mend the ice between Teresa and Melissa and Joe Gorga.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley goes, you tend to care about people that could potentially backfire on you.
Also, Ashley's spray tan has careened out of control.
Lizzie Grubman has...
Lindsay Grubman has changed her, and she is fully channeling Paimon with a spray tan. From the neck up, it's wild.
But I just love how much Ashley and Jacqueline get at each other.
Oh, Ashley knows exactly what buttons to push. And now I think she's stepped into her power. She's like been empowered by getting a new car from Chris, even though she wasn't supposed to get the car. And now she's ready to just like wage a war on Jacqueline.
Yeah.
And so she's like low key waging war. It's masterful.
Jacqueline's like, you know, I'm just trying to be a good friend. And then Ashley goes, Danielle, stop. I had to say it. And then
I had to say it.
And you hear Jacqueline's dad go, oh, God, don't say it. And Jacqueline and Ashley's like, remember, like, you know, you were friends with Danielle and look where that got you. And then Jacqueline's like, in her confessional, it's pretty rich that Ashley's calling me out for inserting herself in drama. And then you cut to Ashley ripping Danielle's hair out of her head.
If you turn the lights out and in the bathroom and say Danielle Staub three times in the mirror, she will be revealed. Invoke her. She's like Beetlejuice. You can invoke her anytime.
She goes, she will be revealed tonight.
She will be revealed tonight. And then she goes, hello, Ikaru. Danielle will literally just appear sitting in your living room
and just say Ikaro
and say Ikaro, you called.
So Jacqueline and Ashley have like an uncomfortable conversation. Ashley goes, okay, whatever.
And Jerry goes, it's not a time of year to fight. It's one of the most stressful times of the year. People spending money they don't have. And I just was like, here's a hack for everyone. Around Christmas time, the most stressful time of the year, don't spend money. Just don't do it. It's totally okay to not buy Christmas presents for anyone. Don't feel weird about that. I've done that multiple years in a row.
I've done it too.
Where I just am like, I don't have money. No explanation. I have no money and no one gets a present and that's fine.
Yeah. Just, you can just be a good,
my present is my presence.
Good daughter. Yeah. A good sister, brother. That's it.
And don't, like, it's not shameful. And even if you do have money, if you don't feel like spending money and getting people presents, don't do it. Who cares? Get them a present at a different time.
Last year I went ham, but some years I have gotten nothing.
Yeah, and that's totally fine.
I didn't have any money.
Give a gift on my own terms when I'm feeling generous than be told by, like, the Gregorian calendar when to give gifts.
So then we cut to Caroline is getting like a 20-foot Christmas tree for her insanely tall great room.
Mm-hmm.
Her sons are helping. Greg is helping.
Lauren feels, she reveals like her B storyline in this episode, which is that she is excluded from Albie and Chris's lives now that they live in Hoboken. I wrote, they're doing you a favor.
Lauren says that she would give Albie and Chris coal, and I wrote, I would give all of the Manzo kids coal.
Yeah, they all get coal. I also wrote, Caroline has huge tits.
She has big knockers.
You don't realize it sometimes, and then in scenes like this, when she's wearing like a tightly fitting like Victoria's Secret graphic tee, you're just like, damn.
Season one, you saw them a lot more.
She had them out.
Well, especially like the reunions. She has big natural tatters.
Big naturals. Yeah, I was very into them. Mama Manzo.
And Caroline goes, Lauren's in bitch mode. Stay out of the way. Also, Lauren has a cold this whole episode.
Yeah, she's like suffering.
Very congested.
She's fucking over it. Albie is still so hurt by Vito dating Lauren. It's like very Brokeback energy. I'm like, what is wrong? Like, get the fuck over it. Why are you so offended by this?
He goes, the good thing about Greg is I don't have to worry about him dating Lauren. And then he goes, and I'm like, okay, the jokes about Greg being gay.
Like, buckle up, because that's like all that Greg gets this entire episode is being like the gay butt of the joke.
Yeah, it needs to stop because Greg's so funny.
He's such a cutie.
He's also just really funny, and I like when Lauren's crying and Greg's just like rolling his eyes at
her. He like can't take it.
And she goes, Greg, stop!
Stop rolling your eyes at me. He's anyway. Like, what? I'm not doing it. Also, I never realized that there was a full living room fresco painting on the wall.
Yeah, they have crazy art in their house.
That was like
there's a cherub at one. There's cherubs everywhere.
I would love someone to do a fresco somewhere in my apartment. Like, I would love to find a good fresco spot.
Do ceiling.
Yeah, I could do like a bedroom ceiling.
I want to do the ceiling at like the Venetian or Caesar's Palace, like painted up ceiling with like where it,
like it's daytime. Like permanent daytime.
But then at night it turns to dusk. Mm-hmm. I love that.
I want like leftover style, like high drama fresco. I want like cherubs.
Yeah. I want like Paris Casino.
Mm-hmm.
Paris is my favorite. The casino is my favorite. I love it at Vegas, and I want that ceiling on my.
I've never been to Paris in Vegas.
Oh, I love Paris.
I love Paris.
There's like little like there's like silhouettes of people and like the cutouts of people like in like the little shops and cafes and stuff. Oh, I love it.
You're real Vegas head. I love it. Santa's face is punched out and Caroline needs a new Santa.
Yeah, they bring in like one of those like Father Time / Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Caroline's very upset, and at one point they go, looks like some mice got to it in the garage. And Caroline goes, she goes, it's a mouse. And then Albert goes, it's not a mouse. And then Caroline goes, then it's something bigger. It's a rat.
She's very shaken by how the Santas were destroyed. It's like something that keeps her up at night, I bet.
Albie goes, Lauren's more protective sister than we are brothers. I'm like, so she's a better sibling than you guys are.
Is Lauren the oldest or the youngest?
She's the second oldest.
Oh, so she's the middle child.
The only girl.
I would not like to be in that position.
It's tough. Melissa's getting her look on.
She says,
some music producers that are coming over.
I'm ready to prove vocally that I'm ready to be a recording artist. So she, and I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, she has a hard time, like, owning the fact that she wants to sing. Like, that's like something that, like, a dream of hers that she wants to do. It's like she can't say that outright. It's like, I'm ready to prove vocally. Like, I don't know. It just feels weird.
And I think, you know, she feels,
like, makes a lot of sense, because like her husband is not ever going to let that happen. Like, he can build her all the studios and like pay guys to come over and tell her that she's a good singer. But when it comes down to it, it's like you get one song and that's it.
Yeah. She's timid about it, because I think she's worried that, I think she's just constantly worried that her husband's going to be mad at her.
Yeah.
Which is kind of dark.
It's the whole energy of like the singing career is actually like extremely dark energy.
Also, the way Melissa asks things of Jesus, it's like very pagan.
It's super pagan. And it's also like, Jesus isn't doing this for you. Like, you're not seeing this for what it truly is, which is just like you're a bird in a gilded cage. Have freedom. You have the illusion of freedom, but actually no actual freedom.
But that's just like not how you pray. Like, there is a right way.
Thank,
like,
you, Jesus. Thank you.
Like, give it, please, to me, Jesus. Jesus, give
please,
it to me, Jesus.
Jesus, let it's me
like,
have a singing career.
I guess there's no wrong way to pray, but if there is a wrong way, it's that.
Yeah.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered shower head. Dermatologists recommended this unique 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market.
Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
I love that the Soul Diggas come over to work with Melissa.
They worked with Beyonce and...
And Britney.
And Britney.
But I guess times are tough because now they're taking on the... I feel like they got paid like pretty well to come over here though. And be complicit in the lie. And I also love... I also love Anthony Bitar, her like theater gay that Joe hired. Like, what a mashup of sensibilities.
Right. He walks in and he goes... Joe goes, "You're late." I like the way Joe talks to gay men. It's like a little flirty.
Yeah.
But also like domineering.
He knows his audience. Like he knows, like I have yet to meet a gay man that is not attracted to Joe Gorga.
Deeply attracted.
Deeply attracted. It's in like the DNA.
I would like turn red if he looked at me.
Yeah. And kind of flirted with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can both be like, it's interesting because with him, I can both be like disgusted by him, but also deeply turned on. That's a really that's a comforting place for me to exist with him.
So Joe Gorga pours everyone some wine and they gather around the piano. Her kids gather and Anthony goes, "Doo, doo, 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 doo." And then Melissa sings, "I can see the weight of the world
coming down on me."
And you can see the producers are trying to vibe, but they're like,
there's no vibe to be had. They are truly just like sipping champagne and being like, what the fuck are we doing here? And like, I love Antonia's like British flag sequin hoodie that she's wearing.
I know. Melissa's very pitchy. She gets through
she
her
bad.
Yeah, her high note is like, and at the end of it, she goes, "Sorry."
No, and then also there's a marketing, like I forget what her cryon was, but her name was Mita, and she's like a marketing specialist. And there's one moment where you see Mita's face while Melissa is singing, and she is not making any attempt to hide her disdain. Like, it truly is like an honest woman amongst us all. And Mita is not having it and is just like
doesn't
sitting
there.
Yeah, I was into it. I was like, Mita, I need to bring like Mita. I think generally like Mita energy to things that I'm not into. Cause like I also am a kind of person that like can't really hide my facial expressions when something ain't right. But so I really related to Mita in that moment. I was like, I see you. I feel you.
Also, just that Melissa's like, "We were introduced to these producers through our attorneys." I'm like, what?
Okay.
So random.
Then the Soul Diggas, they say, one of them goes, "I have been singing, like working in music ever since I was like a child, basically. And I know when someone's a good singer." And I thought he was literally going to be like, "And you are not that great, but we'll figure it out." He goes, "You are a great singer. You've got it."
And the other one's like, "All right." He's like, "That said, we got a lot of work ahead of us. You're going to have to be in the studio all the time." And you see Joe Gorga just go like,
have to get ready. Like, sometimes you'll be in the studio for like, 12 to 15 hours.
Joe Gorga then goes, "I can build a studio in our basement." So he just wants to imprison her, basically. Yeah.
There will be no leaving the house to go to a studio where you go work for 15 hours. He goes, "She's a mother. She has a kids, has a family. There's no studio for 15 hours. No wife of mine."
So he's going to build her like a studio/prison in their giant basement and keep her there and she can never leave.
Yeah, the studio is going to be like... the studio, like the torture chamber in that Jennifer Lopez movie where they like enter a dream world to try and find that serial killer.
Yeah.
What is that movie called? It's so good. Cell, The Cell. That's the studio. It's like the serial killer's lair where he like hangs himself up by his back body piercings and like jerks it to dead bodies.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio. Noted creepster Vincent D'Onofrio.
It's a horrifying movie.
Creepster character actor, I should say. Not noted, because I think he's fine. And then Melissa's like, thank you, Jesus. Joe takes all the soul diggas down to the basement to, like, show them. He's like, it was going to be my wine room, but now I'll make it a studio. And it's, like, just literal prison.
But it looks
like a French Revolution prison.
Clearly they were, yeah, it's like very Reign of Terror, but clearly they were already going to build a studio because it literally looks like a studio.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, if that's what you need, like, I love when people are like playing into the storyline, like as though it's very organic, but it's clearly kind of like a scripted planned scene. They did a good job of it. Like, I wasn't mad at it. And then Melissa goes, thank you, Jesus. And everyone goes, thank you, Jesus. And then it's all, thank Jesus, everything's fine.
So then we cut to the Judice House of Woe. Teresa's skirting down the... I think that all the kids are away for the night, and Teresa's skipping down the hall, the corridor.
All
with
all dolled up.
High, I think like a pleather skirt, black pleather skirt, red bottom furry boots.
And she looks amazing.
She looks great.
She looks like a fucking supermodel. All the stress of the situation, I think, has caused her to just, like, shed a bunch of weight. And now she's, like, living, laughing, and Louboutining down the hallway to go, like, meet Joe in the kitchen, who's using his, like, slap chop to just, like, whip up, like, a fucking shrimp pasta dish. Teresa truly looks like, I was just, like, she was giving me runway.
Yeah, she was owning it. She and Joe are having a romantic... You know, they can't go. Joe's like, because they can't really go out to eat because they can't afford it. They have to kind of. It's really sweet, though.
He goes, I'm doing something a little bit different tonight. We're going to have a living room picnic. And then you pan to the living room where they have no furniture. And there's just like some fabric on like an apple box. And I was literally screeching. I was like, whoa, things are like truly, they just have a massive fireplace, family photos, and like a crate with some fabric, and that is like the extent. They have one like banquet chair thing in the center of the room, but aside from that, all their possessions are gone. I was like, whoa, it is dire straits at the Judy Judy's house.
Everything is just like gold fat. It looks like the living room's the set of the Nutcracker and like a ballet, like big empty living room.
It's real Beauty and the Beast on Broadway vibes. Joe goes, made a shrimp pasta, and they sit on the floor. And then
it looks great.
Joe goes, with all the bull crap going on.
He's like, you think we'd hate each other, but I think it's brought us closer together. And Teresa's like, yeah. And then Teresa, they talk about Joe's business partner who's suing him.
So he's being sued for fraud because his partner is saying that he signed a document for a loan, and Joe is saying it's not true. And then they kind of like briefly talk about it, but then they're like, they go, you live and learn, cheers. And then they both like cheers. And Joe's like, whatever the partner says, it's not true, which is classic Joe. Whenever he says that, you know it's absolutely true and you're going to jail.
But Teresa, you can see the hint of, you can just see Teresa's lack of faith in Joe.
No, I think Teresa's very shaken by like everything and is now entered like a realm of personal hell that most of us will never know.
She's in private hell.
She's in a full private hell, lockdown style. And Joe goes, God bless and love you. I was like,
he forged his signature.
You can't forge your own signature.
No, I think he forged the business partner's signature.
Oh, like he forged, because I was like, I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, I think he signed documents using the business partner's signature that was not his own.
To get money. Fuck. Yeah. Oh my God, don't ever do that.
He is a crook. Also he recently appealed for a new like trial to get reinstated in America.
it got denied. Well. Yeah.
He's never coming back.
You don't think so? I can't believe he didn't. I can, because he seems like not the smartest guy, but like, cannot believe he didn't get citizenship.
Well, apparently Teresa's dad, RIP Nono, was
always telling him that he needed to.
He never listened. Because he thinks he can get away with anything.
What an idiot. Anyways, God bless.
Love you. Then we cut to the Wakilis. I don't care. I don't fucking care about Kathy's restaurant journey. I was like excited. The only
This was going to go, because I like can't remember this season. I don't think I ended up watching this season like back in the day. Like when Staub was gone, it really like the world lost its luster for me. Kathy goes, when you don't dream, you don't live.
When you don't dream, you don't live. And she's back in her same. So this was either filmed on the same day or she's wearing the same outfit.
Yeah, she's dressed like Annie Hall. And they go, the third restaurant they go to is like a primary color Suspiria, like original Suspiria restaurant.
This restaurant, first of all, she's like, the last restaurants she was at, she was like, they're too big. I want something small. This restaurant is palatial. It's huge. Bordello red, and it's hideous. And she goes, oh, I love it.
She thinks this place has great vibes.
There's a horrendous chandelier hanging from the ceiling, and she goes, oh, it's so beautiful, that chandelier. I was like, are we, is she on PC? Like, am I on PCP right now? Because
you're on PCP, Kathy. It's on mushrooms.
This is I think, like, it was one of the ugliest restaurants I've ever seen.
Kathy goes, I picture the live band, the belly dances, a few tokes on the hookah, and everyone gets in the mood. I was like, wait, what? Like, when did this restaurant become like a Middle Eastern like cuisine? I thought this was like Italian. Like, what the fuck are you talking
about? It's Mediterranean.
That's when I knew something ain't right. I was like, where are they going with this restaurant storyline?
And then Joe's like, you think some women, we could get in on some of that action? And then Kathy's like, it's a couple. I was like, are they swingers?
Kathy and Rich?
No.
No.
Too wholesome.
Too wholesome, yeah. I don't see it for them.
Also, the guy who owns it is like such a mobster.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, he's like, she's like, why? It's so great. Why are they trying to sell it? And I was like, something went wrong here.
Yeah, someone's like life has been threatened, and like at least a kneecap. It's has like been some broken. Kind of. It's a fire sale.
It's like an Ozark shit. Yeah.
Joe Gorga is back to building Melissa's fucking cage.
Well, first Melissa's feeding her son, who's like, "Mommy, I want you to feed it to me." And she's like, I'm worried that he's going to grow up to be like his dad. And I'm like,
I can't keep babying you, because then you're going to turn out like your dad. She says, as she like spoon feeds him like bite by bite some waffles. And I was like, yeah, he will turn out.
Give it to me. Give me.
Joe has like a bunch of Italian cronies in his basement. Mm-hmm. He's just speaking in Italian to them. He's joking with them.
I was loving speaking his Italian moment with the construction workers.
He's building a studio for Melissa, and at one point he tells Melissa, Melissa comes downstairs and she's like, I love it. She's like, it feels kind of small. And Joe's like, no, this is how big it's like. Joe figured it out.
Yeah. And Melissa her sound booth or whatever for her to like record her vocals, which is like small, but I got that one seemed very small. Then he's like, maybe we'll get a two-way mirror so me and all the producers, I can be here watching you and you won't even know it. I was like, ooh.
And then you see Melissa's face at that moment, and she actually looks terrified.
Yeah, she didn't like that.
Yeah, she was like embarrassed. She was like, Joe. And he's like, I'll be sitting. He's like, you'll be in here with the producers and I'll be here for hours watching you.
You won't ever know.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
He's scary, but it's also, it's like kind of hot.
He's just going to make her like strip in the studio. I know. Like everything they do is like weird, but also hot. I think it's like, it's consensual. Like she is like consenting to it all. So it's like, okay. I now want to read her book.
I do too. Let's buy it and do a bonus episode about it.
Okay, we'll do that. Lauren, I love Lauren and Jacqueline together. They seem like bosom buddies.
I know, but they're walking up to the Hoboken apartment, and Lauren tells Jacqueline that she hates girls.
Yeah.
So I was immediately like, oh, she doesn't have any girlfriends.
No, that's why you would start dating your brother's best friend and like just want to hang out with your brothers all the time and feel so lonely.
Lauren says
doesn't seem like the kind of girl that would like hang out with other women.
Lauren is jealous of any girl. She's like, there better not be any girls here. Like hanging with my brothers. And I was like, I wrote unhealthy.
Yeah. But I also get the sense that Caroline Manzo doesn't have many girlfriends.
No. Caroline also is weird and like threatened by Lauren.
Yeah. She kind of puts Lauren down.
She nags Lauren all the time. She's mean to her. We'll get to that later. But Caroline, I'm not a fan of the way she talks to Lauren.
Yeah. And I think Lauren's like internalized misogyny is learned.
Yeah.
Straight from the source.
I just wrote their Greg gay jokes are stupid. I know Greg, like I've met him in real life. He's wonderful. And like, I think he's so funny. And like, I'm sure that it's all like in good humor, but it was just like,
jokes of another time where literally every time Greg's on the screen with other people, he's like, his gayness is the butt of the joke.
Yeah.
And I get it. Cause it's like they probably don't hang out or know any other gay people but Greg.
But thank God it's Greg, because Greg is so whip smart and like can totally like troll them, like, as you know what I mean? Like, He takes it in stride, but he also knows how to like dish it back, which is great.
Yeah.
I can't get over that witch chair.
The witch chair is wild. They're all the decor in this apartment is truly insane.
They have leopard chairs.
Yeah, they're tiger print. I kind of liked those tiger print chairs.
Yeah, I did too.
But like, they really need to work on their lighting. What's the overhead lighting situation is so oppressive.
Fluorescent.
And then Jacqueline goes, what bitches have been in here cleaning for you? And then they go, the only bitch in here is Dolores. And then someone goes, I thought you were going to say the only bitch in here is Greg. And I was just like, my God.
I went like this.
Mm-mm. Don't do it.
God, I was thinking how cool it would have been to have Jacqueline as an aunt.
Yeah. She'd be fun.
She would be like, come on. We're going to go to New York.
She's wild. She'll take you out. She'll let you have like a glass of wine.
She'll let you get a little drunk at her house.
Mm-hmm. She'll call you the Uber. She'll send you.
I would have like totally like, I would have like come out to her when I was like 17.
Yeah, she would have loved it.
Should have been like, I won't say anything.
I won't say anything. Good. Lauren feels left out and cries.
She goes, I'm upset. And she stands up from the witch chair and walks out of frame. And then everyone goes and consoles her on the couch. She starts crying into Jacqueline's arms. And then she looks over and Greg's like rolling his eyes at her. And Lauren goes, Greg, stop giving me that look!
Yeah, Greg's just like, what the hell? I was even like, is this real?
I know.
Where is this coming from?
Lauren feels so triggered by Greg.
She's so triggered by Greg. Also, I get
that. She
feels
like she's being replaced.
Greg also is like, not really trying to hang with Lauren.
And there's nothing, a woman,
she's just
women
not,
like her, there's nothing
women like
worse.
Her, there's nothing worse to a gay man than a woman like Lauren.
But also, like, if a gay man doesn't like you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, true.
I want you to like me.
Desperately wants to be liked by a gay man, but. He's it like, ain't happening, sister.
No, I think they're actually like best friends.
Yeah, I'm best friends.
But yeah, Lauren starts crying. Jacqueline consoles her, and then at one point, Chris and Albie get up and they come back and they give her a key to the apartment. And she lights up.
Yeah. And they're like, come over anytime. And they go, but call for knock first. Like, Chris goes, they're just going to be like plowing bitches in the apartment.
Oh, they're going to be like farting and.
Yeah, they're like farting and like scratching their balls and sniffing their hands.
Chris goes, I was going to give you a key for Chris, the key for Christmas. And they go, oh, and I wrote sad face. I was like, that's, oh, what an honor.
What an honor. Now I can drive an hour over to Hoboken and come into your stinky apartment. Neat. And watch the sunset and be so far away from Manhattan, the place that I really want to be. Awesome.
And sit on your couches that smell like fart.
Yeah. And watch like fucking Sunday football. My literal version of hell. Hoboken would depress the hell out of me. Hoboken on a Sunday, surrounded by straight men farting and watching NFL, I'd rather die. Mm-hmm. Then the next day, Caroline and Lauren deliver the feather Christmas tree.
Well, at one point, really quick, Jacqueline's setting up for the party with her dad, and she goes, I hope. She goes, Teresa flipped the table. Joe pounded it on one. And she goes, she pauses and she goes, one day the tables will fight back.
What? Like, what machinations does she have?
I know.
She is like channeling. I love her channeling table energy.
Yeah. And then, so yeah, they deliver the green boa tree.
And Caroline in her talking head has the most insane flat ironed hairstyle I've ever seen in my life.
That was really crazy.
I don't even understand how like she got her hair to go that flat and straight.
No, it felt truly otherworldly and I was not okay.
It's like she's like a sci-fi hair.
Mm-hmm. She's a Cylon.
She's a Cylon.
But at one point, Lauren's like, oh, because they have like a step and repeat. Lauren's like.
A step and repeat?
Feels.
At the house?
Yeah, they have like a thing like to walk in for the Christmas party. They're having a Christmas party. And Lauren's feeling already like nervous about it because she knows she's going to not get all the attention at the party.
Oh, for the Albie and Chris's Christmas party?
Yeah.
Oh.
They have like a little like fake step and repeat thing in their hallway. It's like a joke, I guess.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
And Lauren's like, hey, I'll write all your names on stockings. And Caroline trolls her and goes, what, with a marker? That's ugly.
And then Caroline's like, do you have any glue and glitter? Or no, Lauren's like, do you have any glue or glitter? And she's like, yeah, they have lots of glue and glitter here.
I was like, shut the fuck up, Caroline.
Yeah, Caroline's
just
trolling
trying to be helpful.
But also, Lauren just has like a bad attitude. She's like victim-y.
She is victim-y, but I was like, but I kind of understand why.
Yeah.
Her mom is like, you're such a fucking loser, Lauren. Like, she's basically gang. She's because Caroline wants to be like the cool girl with all the guys.
Mm-hmm.
So she wants to be like, I can hang with the boys and be mean to the other women.
Why doesn't Lauren get to move out? She has to stay home.
Yeah. What do they even do? Do Chris and Albie even have jobs? I don't think they do.
I don't know. I feel like their job is maybe being on the show.
Yeah. And Blackwater.
Blackwater and beyond that, unclear.
Unclear.
But then we get truly the treasure of New Jersey. Kim G opens up her palatial mansion to Jacqueline.
Jacqueline's like, I still like Kim G. We still hang out. I love their friendship. It's so real.
It's real. Kim G goes, come in. You look pretty. I love the olive green.
She has one of those staircases that has like a landing and then like two staircases on either side.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacqueline's like, wow, I love this renovation you've done. And then Kim G starts, she goes, yeah, you know, I wanted to get it redone. She goes, you know, I wanted to celebrate me getting a gift to myself after getting over, well, I had a brain tumor.
Yeah.
Which was a shock to me.
No one ever talked about Kim Ji's brain tumor where they like took out part of her skull. She was like, when I moved in here, I just kind of bought things and threw them all about because I'd had a brain tumor. And then like she makes Jacqueline like feel her missing skull piece.
She goes, feel it. You feel that? A part of my skull is missing. Do you feel it right here? Jacqueline's like, you can also tell Jacqueline doesn't fully believe her.
Yeah, I believe her though.
She's like, oh, yeah.
Props to Kim Ji. She goes, Kim Ji celebrated. She got a fucking new chandelier and some new teeth.
Queen of getting over brain tumors.
Yeah. She will not let a brain tumor slow her down.
Queen of walking around with a piece of her skull missing.
Yeah. And then they take a seat on this beautiful yellow floral couch that she has. I love that couch.
Kim Ji's eating like a pastrami sandwich and her little hands, the way she holds them. At one point, she starts laughing and she has both her hands up and she goes... She starts just rattling off stories about Teresa and Joe's financial and legal problems, like stories in the press.
God, I was so pissed that Jacqueline just like kept shutting her up because I wanted to know all the juicy goss. Like, they're not really letting a lot of that penetrate the show. And I need someone like Kim Ji who's just here to talk shit obsessively about them. And like Jacqueline...
She's trolling Jacqueline. So Jacqueline keeps going, shut your mouth.
Yeah. Jacqueline like, also is like, I cannot like have this conversation with you because Teresa will fully go Momo on me and like eat my face if this conversation comes to fruition. So she just keeps interrupting her and Kim Ji's like, well, my girlfriend said, and she goes, tell your girlfriend to shut the fuck up.
Kim Ji also she lives to make people upset.
Yeah. And Kim Ji goes, I'm not going to, I like her.
I just love, but that's like a, like Jacqueline just telling Kim Ji to shut the fuck up too. Like, it's just that they're like actually friends.
Yeah. That was like a friend move. Monica Chacon, God bless her soul.
And her sharp
bob.
Has
been texting Kim Ji because she has an inside track. She's Joe's partner's lawyer's wife. So she knows everything and is ready to start spreading those rumors all over town.
And then we cut to Joe and Teresa driving home in their white Range from their court
date.
Their
white Mercedes.
The white Mercedes. And you just hear Joe go, shut up, Tree. Leave me alone.
Yeah, they've spent the entire day in court. And anytime Tree talks, she's being told to shut up by her husband.
So then we cut to the brownstone and Kathy and Rich are meeting Albert Manzo to talk about like starting a restaurant.
And Albert, when they tell him their dream of opening a restaurant, he straight up laughs in their face.
He's so condescending.
So condescending. I wrote, what a hater.
Also, I was like, you own a catering hall.
Yeah, like
you own a banquet hall. Like, it's not Caesar's Palace.
They're like, we'd love to open a restaurant someday. And he goes, ha. I'll tell you something I learned on 9/11.
And I know Jesus.
He brought 9/11 into it.
Bringing 9/11 into it. We were not kidding around.
He's like, what's not ready for a 9/11 anecdote?
I wrote, I'm done with this scene. Caroline wrote, she goes, Albie inherited the restaurant. The brownstone right after his father died. And I wrote, correction, his father got fucking whacked.
Yeah, right after his father got whacked.
Caroline goes, when you say blood, sweat, and tears, that place was born in blood, sweat, and tears. And I was like, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, because your father got brutally murdered by the fucking mob to hand down the banquet hall to Albert Sr.
The 9/11 thing, I like disassociated.
I love what he learned on 9/11 was like how important his business is.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's like, I mean, any time of tragedy is truly like the only thing you do really learn is like you're just learning about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like,
I'll tell you something I learned on 9/11.
On 9/11, he starts casually. You just see Kathy and Rich are like, they probably like smoked a little in the car and they're just like,
they were not ready for a place of 9/11. No one's ever ready to go to a place of 9/11 in a conversation.
But you know what? It just happens.
But yeah, sometimes when people
9/11 comes up a lot.
It does come up a lot. And when people unexpectedly bring 9/11 into the mix, I'm always like, tell me everything, because I know they're about to say some crazy shit. You don't go to a place of 9/11 unless you're really trying to like make your crazy ass point.
I know.
And then I have no choice to go to a place of Greg where I'm internally eye rolling, but I'm like, tell me everything.
Tell me more.
Yeah, tell me.
But also, like, honestly, place of 9/11 comes up more than you think.
There's
trauma. We are so traumatized by 9/11 that it's like there's a part of our brains that's always just like, bring it up. Someone bring it up.
No, I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with 9/11, and I'm obsessed with going to a place of 9/11. 9/11 was honestly my 9/11.
Me too. But also, like, do you know what I'm talking about? There's like a little part of our psyches that's just like desperately waiting for someone to bring it up.
Oh yeah, like let's go back there and like talk about it. Like I'm not gonna talk about it, but I really want you to go there and talk about it.
Same.
And like I will every so often just watch like videos of it on YouTube. Guess what? That's my truth, because it's truly unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
I still can't believe it happened. I was 12 when it happened, and I still can't believe it.
I was a junior in high school.
God. It is the most.
It was unbelievable. I remember I was in Catholic school, and I went to school that day. I was late, as usual, to school. But on the radio, I was like, before I left the house, like heard that 9/11 was happening. Then on the radio, it was like fully happening. I got to school and I was like, well, thank God I have like an excuse. I'll be late to school. I won't get detention. And I was like, the fucking like intake nuns were like, why are you late? And I was like, hello. Like it's 9/11 out there.
It's 9/11. You already adapted. You were already.
No,
like,
I already 9/11. Was like using. I was like, went right to a place of 9/11 with them. And they were like, they did not care. They gave me detention anyways on fucking 9/11. I was like, you are fully soulless.
I had a World War II vet who was a substitute teacher. He was like infamous, and he like just out of nowhere went, if a plane was sick, did I tell you this?
No.
None of us knew. I was in seventh grade. None of us knew about it. And he just went, if a plane were to crash through a window right now, we would all be dead immediately. And we all started laughing because we were like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then he came over and got in my face. I was like one of like eight people laughing, and he came and yelled at me, and he was like, you think it's funny when I go to the memorials in DC and I cry when I see my friends' names and like all this shit? And I was so embarrassed. And everyone was like looking down and like kind of laughing still at me for getting reamed out. And he didn't say anything about it. And then the next period, my nice geography teacher was like, okay, here's what happened. And we were like, oh,
so you guys had no idea. And he went to a place of 9-11 before you even entered the 9-11 building.
No, he went to a place of World War II during that. Like he was like, He was living his own war trauma, which I totally get, but like we had not been told the information. So he just said that out of nowhere. And I was truly horrified because I didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah. And you didn't even know that 9/11 was happening.
No. And then the next period, he was like, my other teacher was like, there was a terrorist attack. And we were like,
okay, well, that's like a little bit preemptive of him.
And my first question was in my head, I was like, what's a terrorist attack? I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. I was well-versed in terrorism because of the Oklahoma City bombing.
That's
which
true.
I literally heard happen.
No, that's insane.
And so that was, like, fully, like, I mean, I just lived in a world where that kind of stuff happened, like, pretty normally. which is I feel like when 9/11 happened, I was like, hey, don't give me detention. Like, we're right back where we started from in 1995. So, like, give me a break.
That was crazy. I kind of remember the Oklahoma City. I remember hearing about it.
Yeah, but that was wild. Like, I remember that day so clearly.
Anyways,
terrorism. It's fucking crazy. I just took things to, you know what? The thing about terrorism is you can take it to that place anytime.
The thing about terrorism.
So the bottom line, though, is that Kathy and Rich aren't going to do a restaurant after all. So for nothing. We just watched a bunch of just like nothing for nothing's sake.
But also it kind of felt like Albert. I was like, cool. Like, be realistic.
But it was also a chance to like have a 9/11 moment.
Yeah.
Storyline was just leading up to what Albert learned woke up 9/11.
He woke up that morning thinking about 9/11.
Yeah, and the producers of the show were like, okay, we're going to need to work 9/11 in here somehow. So, like, let's do, like, a story. Like, how can we do that? And came up with this storyline. Yeah. And I love that, like, the conclusion of everything is, like, 9/11. And we won't do a restaurant.
My friend passed on 9/11. And it taught me about how important making food is. How important catering is.
How important is food to you? Do you have a 9/11 level of respect for the restaurant that you're going to make? And they're like, actually,
Kathy,
no.
Yeah, Kathy was like, you know what? I don't. I'll
Not
just stick
really.
To like low-key under-the-table catering moments with like friends
and
family.
I'd rather just make some dessert for my friends and charge like $30.
Imagine her and Chris or her and Rich just like driving home being like, fuck.
Shit. They had like a long thoughtful conversation about 9/11 and like the kids all had plans and sleepovers that night, and Kathy and Rich just like got a little wine drunk and like she cooked them dinner, they smoked a little J afterwards and like had really emotional like beautiful sex, and like thanks to 9/11 they were able to have that moment.
They made love Yeah,
they invoked the spirit of 9/11 into lovemaking and realized truly what's most important to them is their relationship and their family.
And then they woke up the next morning and just kind of made coffee, and Kathy just came down and Rich was already sitting downstairs, and she looked over at him, he looked over at her, and she went.
And they just held she reached out her hand and he just touched it.
And then she started making breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of 9/11, so Jacqueline is making
Jacqueline's hired chef.
It looks so good. The chef is this lady chef.
So good.
She has all these amazing like cheeses and meats, and Jacqueline goes, I'm gonna pick, and you just see her picking, and I loved it.
I love a chef too. Like, I trusted this chef based on like her outfit, and her vibe was very much like business, and she was wearing like black like Air Max Nikes, and I was like, this is a chef
maybe
on the move.
Yeah, she had like very like powerful lesbian vibes.
Yeah, I wanted to fuck her, I'll say it.
Do it. She loves Jacqueline goes, I love cheese, and I went, that's me.
Same.
Jacqueline, so Teresa and Joe come over and they're waiting outside.
First
the Manzos come.
Lauren Manzo is dressed like Liza Minnelli performing at the wedding in Sex and the City 2.
If you like it, then you can put a ring on it.
Don't be scared if it ain't and he want it. Yeah, she is fully Liza. And Teresa is wearing three different furs. And they're carrying a bottle of Veuve. Like, they are trying to, like, pretend that nothing is awry. And I'm like...
Yeah.
Every element of their
Everything
party
is
vibe
awry.
Is a red flag. Three different furs is a sign that you have no furniture. If you show up wearing a chinchilla, like a coyote, and like a fox coat, I'm going to go straight to the realization that you have no other possessions in this world.
And they're waiting outside, and Joe Giudice goes, it's cold out here. You gonna leave us out here? What took you so long? When Jacqueline finally answers the door.
He goes, you're like a slow poke. It's freezing out here.
Teresa and Jacqueline pulls Teresa into like the psychic Tia room. And she's like, hey, girl, like, saw something on radar.online. Like, what the fuck's going on? Did you have something happen in court today? And Teresa's like, she's like, yeah, I saw Monica Chacon. And I went up to her and I just said, like, I appreciate it if you stop talking about this in public. And then I moved on. And then he cut to Joe Giudice and he's with Chris and Albert. And he goes, my wife's fucking crazy.
She's going to kill me. Nuts. Teresa does a classic thing she does when you're like, hey, I heard you like physically assaulted someone. She's like, I just asked her how she was doing. What? And it's like, no, that's code for like you literally shoved her and like broke her neck.
Yeah.
And then like, Teresa, it turns out she shoved Monica Chacon in the courtroom.
And Joe had to literally pull her away. He's really mad at her because she made a total scene at court.
She
like assaulted someone.
Yeah, assaulted the wife of the lawyer who's representing the person suing her husband.
Yeah.
Truly not a well thought out move.
Yeah.
Teresa, like, she, the place of Momo is so real and tree. Like, she cannot stop it. And even she goes to Jacqueline, she goes, I wasn't gonna, but it's like, silence the lamb. Like,
yeah.
I was like, silence the lamb? You mean silence the lambs.
Yeah.
I wasn't gonna, but it's like, silence the lamb.
Remember in Selling Sunset when the Israeli woman went, the silence of the lamb. No. Oh, okay.
But I love that. I know I didn't watch that whole show.
Oh, there's this part where all the women in the Oppenheim group are just like awkwardly, it's like there's everyone had like a fight, so it's really tense and it's silent, and then this Israeli woman out of nowhere just goes she goes, "The silence of the lamb." And then one of them pauses and goes, "What?" And she goes, "The silence of the lamb." And they're all like, "What?" So weird.
I love she
thought it meant like being quiet. Anyway,
yeah, no, I love people misinterpreting the silence of the lambs. Ashley reveals herself and she's sexy now.
Yeah, she is.
Made that car she got just like fucking reignited, and like Lizzie Grubman's like the coke bumps Lizzie like slips to her at the internship have really like breathed a new breath of life into
hot.
Ashley. I'm fucking hot now. And she goes, that's the thing about my mom. Wherever there's drama, she tries to put herself in it. That's why she was friends with Danielle. I wrote boom.
Shut up. Boom. But also so true.
Yeah.
She knows her mom. So then Teresa's sitting in the other room and then you hear the doorbell ring and Jacqueline goes, that might be your brother. Want to come to the door? And Teresa goes, no, I'll sit here.
Then Joe and Melissa enter and Teresa immediately goes up to Joe and starts flirting with him. She goes, you look so thin. I was like, ugh, Teresa.
I know. It was so weird.
God. Ooh.
When she gets drunk, she gets like a high-pitched voice and she went, you look so thin. And then Joe Gorga sees Greg and he goes, hey, what's up? Or he goes, hey, who are you? And Greg goes, I'm Greg. And he goes, hi, Greg. He goes, you're tall. And I got the chills.
Oof. Yeah, I love it. I love to see them flirting. Then Joe tells Albie, he's like, you got to get a, he's like looking over at Melissa. He's like, you got to get a girl like that. She's like, you got to get a girl like that. Give her a little. And like basically.
Joe Giudice?
No, Joe Gorga. He's like telling Albie and Chris like they need to find a Melissa in their life, and then he like infers that he and Melissa just fuck nonstop. And Melissa's like, God, Joe.
But they become immediately the darlings of the party.
Yeah, they work the room.
Everyone's obsessed with them. Yeah. Caroline's so charmed. Teresa is
insanely
jealous.
Yeah, she's in a full mental place of Momo, but knows that she can't, like, she's already Momo'd out on someone earlier, so like she's reached full Momo capacity and now she only can dissociate and just hate stare at Melissa.
Yeah, they're just, everything they say, everyone just laughs and laughs and laughs. The Giudices used to be them and now it's them.
No, yeah. And then everyone dares Joe Gorga to like put on Jacqueline's dress, like a jumpsuit, and he does it, and he like puts on a sequin jumpsuit and like runs around and high kicks, and everyone's laughing and laughing and laughing.
He looks great.
He looked amazing, and they are fun to have at the party. They're young and sexy. What's not to love?
All the Manzo kids in their confessionals are like, we love the Gorgas. They're so fun.
Yeah, Caroline's like, this is so fun. Everyone's like, how fun are these people? And Joe and Tree are truly, they've had the like most hellish day of their lives and then had to come to a party where their sworn enemies are like lauded and praised for being the best and most fun people ever. This is the worst day in history.
Caroline in her confessional, she goes, the Gorgas. She goes, Melissa and Joe. But also, Joe Giudice, though, while he was watching Joe Gorga, was grinning ear to ear, and he had almost like a teary glint in his eye. I think when he gets a little wind up, he gets a little like emotional.
Sentimental.
And I think he had a look of sentimentality on his face of like playing with Joe Gorga when they were kids, I think. And he was just like watching his little brother, and you could tell there was still love there.
Yeah.
I think.
I love that interpretation.
He was just like, he was grinning. Like he was.
Yeah. He needed a little drink or two to loosen up after this day. And like, he was not in like the darkest place, but Tree was.
Surprisingly.
She was full lights out.
Well, just.
And she and Melissa almost get in a fight. She almost takes it there.
Because. Melissa's like, I love my sisters. I couldn't live without them. And Teresa goes, I wish I had a sister. And then Melissa turns and goes, hello, you have one.
And Teresa's like, well, I didn't think that because you always talk about your sisters. And then Melissa's like, well, blah, 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 blah. And then Caroline shuts it down.
Yeah, Caroline goes, okay, we know.
And then the icing on the cake. Also, Melissa just must be... She and Joe went home and fucked like for 4 hours after this party. It was such a success. Like, and also, Melissa's getting her ultimate comeuppance because not only does she go to the party, she's so hot. Her husband, everyone laughs and like loves them. She's like the center of attention. But then the icing on the cake is she gets to invite everyone at this party to her own Christmas party.
Her amazing... That's... Truly an
all
amazing
of
party.
Teresa's friends in front of Teresa invites them all to her beautiful Christmas party, and you can tell at that point both Tree and Joe are pretty pissed.
Joe, while Gorga's running around in his outfit, Giudice turns to Greg and he goes, Greg, if you dress like that and I was gay, I would not sleep with you. And then Greg's like, so you're saying I have a chance? And Giudice is like, maybe.
Yeah, it was a weird... They all ask Greg, like, all these questions about being gay. Greg's they like, this is, like, a regular Friday night for me. They're like, ah!
They push the envelope.
Yeah.
I wrote Gorga looks lissom.
Mm-hmm. He's so, like... He's so just, like, light on his feet.
I know. Giudice, Melissa. I also love how Teresa, Joe, while Melissa's inviting everyone, Giudice just keeps asking Melissa over and over again, what time does the holiday party start?
What time is the
and
party?
And she doesn't answer him. And then finally she goes, like 7:38. Like she doesn't really even invite them. They just invite themselves.
Well, she's like invite. It's more about her publicly inviting everyone in the room, and then like that includes them. But I know exactly what she's doing in that moment. Is like she's flexing and doing a total power move at Teresa specifically to just like needle them. Like the way she goes about, I love it. And Teresa is fully like eyes glazed over, and then she's like, "We have another party, but we'll try to come." Which is like, what other party do you have?
Melissa goes, all right, come before or after. Like, she doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And you can just tell Teresa's like... And then at one point, Melissa goes, everyone come here. And she goes, and the tall one, who's the tall one? I like him. And they're like, Greg. And she's like, yeah, bring him.
Mm-hmm.
The tall one.
The tall one. Who's that tall one? Bring him. He's great.
Well, the holiday party is amazing.
Shit's going to go down because also Monica Ciccone comes to the holiday party.
Yeah.
And Kim G. And you know wherever Kim G shows up, drama's about to go down.
Oh, yeah.
I love also Kim G's, like, because of her brain tumor, she's turned into just, like, a sassy broad.
Yeah, she's, like, had a new lease on life, and she doesn't give a fuck.
She's like, life's too short not to speak up.
That would be her Housewives tagline.
Yeah, they really have done Kim G dirty by not making her a full-time housewife.
We need more Kim G, too.
Yeah, I'd watch Kim G and Kim D, like, paint a
spin
wall.
Off.
Yeah.
I'd watch, they should do a buddy trip series.
Kim and Kim take America.
Like the simple life.
Oh, we love to see it.
And that's it for this episode. Well.
Grazie,
tune
caro.
In next week. Grazie, Lars Maria.
Tune in next
stay
week.
Stay safe.
Stay safe. Follow Carrie.
Follow Laura. Follow Laura at Lars Marie. Subscribe to Patreon.
Yeah, patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. There's so much content on there. Like, you honestly won't believe it how much you get.
We're both on Cameo. You can, you know, get cameos from either of us. There's merch for sale.
Merch for sale. Go to sexyuniquestore.com and you can support the Federation.
The Federation.
And that's that.
Love and light, everyone.
Love and light. Bye.
Bye.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.